Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Spokesperson for the American College of Emergency Physicians. She's Dr. Lee. And the Dr. Lee Vinoker Show.
Good morning. Welcome to the show on Radio MD, Health from the Outside In. Well, this is some medical news. You may have heard of it, an outbreak of Legionnaires. Last count was 10 people had died. 100 people had been diagnosed with it. My next guest is a board-certified infectious disease and critical care physician at University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, Dr. Amesh Adalja. And sorry about that, Dr. Adalja. Thank you for being on the show and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, the original outbreak way back, when was that, in the 70s in Philadelphia? It was called Legionnaires because of some American Legion convention or something. That's how we started to call it that. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, right. There was a convention in Philadelphia in 1976 at the Bellevue Stratford Hotel. At that time, the country was on heightened alert for a pandemic flu. This was right around the time of the swine flu incident in 1976. And we saw these conventioners that were part of the American Legion getting ill with a mysterious pneumonia that no one could culture any bacteria from. And eventually they discovered that this was caused by what was then a novel infectious disease, Legionnaire's disease, caused by the Legionella pneumophila bacteria. And then subsequently, we found cases that go back even to the 1950s once we knew what we were looking for. But that's a good way to think of Legionnaire's disease. Those are the types of people that are disproportionately infected with Legionnaire's disease. Those that are old, they may have other health conditions like lung or heart disease. Some of them may have immune-suppressing conditions. That's the type of person that gets very ill with Legionnaire's disease.
So that was sort of why it seemed kind of novel to us, because we had never seen so many older smoking men together in one room in the 70s, or it just, we had never noticed a system, you know, such a big outbreak before. Was that the first big outbreak?
That was the first big outbreak, and the fact that it happened around 1976, when people were really worried about swine influenza and looking for respiratory infections, was what really kind of galvanized together to make this Legionnaire's disease discovery. And you know, since that time, we now know that Legionnaire's disease isn't just something that causes these explosive outbreaks like we're seeing in the Bronx. This causes thousands of infections a year in the United States and really accounts for almost up to 5% of our community-acquired pneumonia cases. So this is a very widespread infection. It's very common.
Mm-hmm. And this, to let people know, and this is a bacterial infection as opposed to, you know, you talked about the swine flu. People were worried about a virus. This is a bacterial infection. So it's not really person-to-person per se, is it?
Right. This is a bacterial infection, and the good thing about Legionnaire's disease is it's not communicable from person to person. You can't pass it to other people. You get infected with Legionnaire's disease when you inhale the water that may be contaminated with Legionnaire's bacteria, and the Legionnaire's bacteria is ubiquitous. It is everywhere. You can even find it in rain puddles. It's not something that goes away. It's always there, so anytime you have cooling waters or certain water sources, you have to be alert to the possibility that they could be contaminated with Legionnaire's disease and do the appropriate maintenance and testing, which is where I think this whole outbreak in the Bronx stems from.
Mm-hmm. So that's what happens. The bacteria can live in water, and then it sort of is, the water is a cooling water, so it gets out through, it gets aerosolized, does it, through the
exactly.
Air conditioning?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing in this outbreak in the Bronx. We've seen it in other outbreaks, but it doesn't necessarily always have to be from air conditioner. We had a large outbreak at the Pittsburgh VA hospital here where the water in the hospital was itself contaminated. So it can be any kind of water source, and it just depends upon getting into the right person to cause it. Even, you know, a very colorful example is at the Playboy Mansion, they had misting machines, and those misting machines got contaminated with Legionnaire's bacteria. So this is something that's really always going to be a risk when you're dealing with aerosolization of water or large water supply.
really the Playboy Mansion, and only Hugh Hefner got sick because everyone else there was 20, right? All women in their 20s, so they didn't get sick from it at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, is that Legionnaire's disease doesn't affect young, healthy people usually. It's usually, like I said, older people with other health problems that are affected, and that's what we're seeing in this South Bronx outbreak as well.
So can you even get it from drinking the water? You mentioned it was in the water at the VA. So even can you ingest it and drink it, or are you kind of protected if you swallow it?
This is a disease that's a respiratory disease. So what we're really worried about is people inhaling it into the lungs. Mm-hmm. When you, in general, ingest bacteria into your stomach, the stomach acid in your, that resides there in your stomach has such a low pH that it's a very inhospitable environment for many different microorganisms, including Legionnaire's disease. It's not primarily a gastrointestinal disease, although people can get diarrhea with it, and there may be some effect there that it may be having, but it's primarily what we're worried about is the inhalation into the lungs.
Okay. So when it was in the water in your VA system, you just told people to not drink the water. Obviously, if you're immune compromised, anything you ingest anyway, you're more at risk. But it's not that common if you drink it, or you're a healthy person, don't smoke. Is that part of the issue? I know originally with the first outbreak in the 70s, you know, all the American Legion, they were a lot of smoking back in the 70s, a little bit less now, but it's the damaged lung is also an issue with contracting the pneumonia.
Right, with any type of respiratory infection, if you are a cigarette smoker, the ability of your lungs to withstand infection is compromised. With each cigarette you smoke, there's little hairs on your cells there that help clear all of those bacteria. Those get paralyzed by cigarette smoke. So cigarette smoking is a risk factor for any type of respiratory infection, including Legionnaire's disease.
Okay. So how would you suspect it if you weren't having an outbreak? What are the typical symptoms?
Well, the symptoms of Legionnaire's disease are very similar to any other type of community-acquired pneumonia. So an individual may have fever, they may have cough, they may have shortness of breath, and that's kind of the very basic symptoms that you have. Sometimes with Legionnaire's disease, they also may have diarrhea, which sometimes can be a clue. But the thing is, we don't often know when a person presents to the emergency department or to a doctor's office with pneumonia what organism is causing this pneumonia. So we do some testing, and as part of that testing, we often test the patient's urine because their urine can sometimes have what's called the Legionella antigen. And that picks up about 90% of Legionnaire's disease cases. So we would send that urine off. But regardless of waiting for that test, what we do is we treat the patient with antibiotics. And all of our first-line antibiotics against pneumonia include a drug that's active against Legionnaire's disease. So it is something that's reflected in our guidelines and in our practice patterns that Legionnaire's disease is a possibility. Like I said, about 5% of pneumonias are caused by Legionnaire's disease. So we are treating people up front. Usually, if people are following the guidelines, with an anti-Legionella antibiotic.
And most, so you're saying most common antibiotics that we do use for pneumonias acquired in the community, as they're called, community-acquired pneumonias, will also cover the Legionella bacteria.
Right. It's part of our guidance to consider that possibility in every patient that comes in from the community with pneumonia.
Okay, so is there any prevention tips? Obviously, no smoking. Are there guidelines that cities have, too, and we just have about 30 seconds, to make sure that the water supply is clear in their air conditioning systems?
Right, there are multiple sets of guidelines from engineering organizations as well as the CDC about how to maintain a water supply safely, in order to prevent Legionnaire's disease bacteria from getting contaminated into the water, and when it is there, to actually rectify the problem as soon as possible.
Okay, interesting and important topic. I want to thank my guest. This is the Dr. Lee Van Oker Show, Health from the Outside In on Radio MD. Stay tuned into your health.